Wintrust Business Lunch. Elise Glink joins us frequently on Mondays, most Mondays, in fact, from thinkglink.com to talk about things she's thinking about. Hi, Elise. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Good. Let me just throw this in real quick. The Powerball jackpot climbed to an estimated $1.55 billion. No one matched the numbers on Saturday. If you take it as cash, it's $680 million. It makes it now the world's fourth largest lottery prize after rolling over for 34 consecutive days. It's played in 45 states and some other American holdings, and the numbers were 40. It's funny because if you showed me these numbers, you said, hey, John, I'm thinking about playing these numbers. What do you think? 47, 54, 57, 60, 65, all of them, I mean, that's a pickleball court right there. All of them older numbers. And then the Powerball was 19.
Maybe
I would
it's
say
for
no.
Boomers.
I would say spread it out more. I don't like that. You throw in a 23, get yourself a 35 in there. But no, all of them 47 and then some. The drawing is Monday night. Do you play,
John,
by the way, Elise?
I do sometimes, and I was just thinking that I should go and play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with a Powerball of 6 just for kicks, because any number can come up. But then I was thinking, is $685 million really enough to live the life I would like to live? What do you think,
John? I would take it as the annuity over 30 years.
Yeah.
That much money at once scares me. Only bad things are going to happen. And even over 30 years, it'd be more that you could spend in any one of them. But I don't want that much money.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, most, I won't say all, but almost all of lottery winners end up blowing through their money within 5 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
End up in terrible straits. The first guy who won, I'm trying to think of his name, the first guy who won a major Powerball, it was about 25 years ago, $20 million, and he ended up getting his daughter, I believe, kidnapped and killed. He ended up dying young. Like, the whole family just was thrown into complete turmoil.
Is that the guy in West Virginia? Are you thinking
I think
of?
So.
Bad I things so. Happen to some of those people. So yeah. I pledge to give away, you know, thousands of my winnings if I hit that number. Hundreds and hundreds of it will be.
That's right. Well, anyway, I know there are a lot of people who will play today. And if you just treat it as entertainment and that works for you, I think that's probably worth your $2 ticket.
What have you noticed about cyber crimes?
Oh, my goodness. This is really where you need to pay attention, because people are getting caught left and right, particularly the elderly, and they're getting hurt with their retirement funds getting stolen. Now, I know that, first of all, let me just explain that there is a big difference between cybercrime and ID theft, right? And one is a subset of the other. So when you have identity theft, right, when you have your identity stolen and used, that is actually a subset of a cybercrime. Cybercrimes are known as computer crimes because the use of a computer network, your cell phone, or some other sort of network device helps people commit fraud. It helps them with trafficking in child pornography and intellectual property, stealing identities, that's where the identity theft comes in, but also violating privacy. And there's a real move right now with AI of all new kinds of cybercrime. And I felt like we should talk about that a little bit today, John.
One of the categories that seniors are hit with a lot, I noticed in a pie chart you sent us, was confidence romantic. I presume that's somebody saying, well, I'm not exactly sure what the play is, but somehow or another they scheme somebody into what they think is a friendship or a romance, and then they steal from them. And this affects people over the age of 60.
It does. You know, seniors are, you know, when they get to be into their 60s, 70s, 80s, they may have lost a spouse. Seniors divorcing at the highest rate in history since we've been keeping those statistics. And so they're all looking for love. And what ends up happening is they get sucked in by a fabulous, too good to be true, you know where that leads, profile on a dating app, and they start a conversation and a romance, and there's always reasons not to meet in person, or maybe the person lives abroad, and somehow they get talked into, oh, I just need an extra $50, or I need a few $100, and by the time they're at that place, they have been groomed to fall in love with this person and think that this person is going to, you know, be the partner of their dreams. Unfortunately, it's a scam. A lot of times you're seeing with investments, this is really frightening as well, almost $720 million lost by scam artists who will tell you that they are from your own investment company, whether you're from, let's say, Fidelity. They're not really from Fidelity. It's completely faked, but they'll tell you they are. They know, seem to know a lot about your investments, and so they gain your trust, and then they tell you about this absolutely amazing crypto investment that if you don't make today, you're going to be left behind, and you know, people are losing their life savings.
Saw in the paper today the Sam Bankman-Fried story. The trial is ongoing. They had that big conference in Chicago that he dominated in years past. He certainly wasn't there this year. Crypto is not as hot as it once was, but the bottom line in that story, you probably saw it too, Elise, is it ain't going away.
No, crypto isn't going away. I still have very mixed feelings about crypto as an investment. I believe the way that Paul Krugman, the writer from the New York Times, believes, which is, you know, crypto is a solution in looking for a problem. The problem that it seems to be solving very well is the black market and gray market economies. Hostage taking seems to be a very popular way for people to pay those ransoms and other kinds of illicit activities. You know, for most people, this is you would see it as more of a Ponzi scheme than anything else, simply because, you know, people who were early in, you know, the price rose up and they made a lot of money. They got out. People bought in a little bit higher. And now what you see are prices for, say, Bitcoin fluctuating all over the place. I just can't recommend it for the average person.
So what do you know about interest rates and where mortgages are going?
Well, here's the thing. I think they're still going up, and I hate to be the one to bring that news. Today, Fannie Mae released its Home Purchase Sentiment Index. They, you know, survey home buyers and home people who want to be home buyers every single month, and they've been doing this for a long time. And the Home Purchase Index is basically the lowest it has ever been. 16% of people say it's a good time to buy a house. And they're looking at rising mortgage rates. People who are trying to buy now are paying $300-$500 a month more, sometimes even $1,000 a month more than if they had bought at the beginning of the year. The rise in interest rates has just been relentless. And few people think it's a good time to sell, right? Because if they sell, then they have to turn around and buy. And so people who have mortgages at 4% or less are looking around going, wow, home prices are going up, so I would buy a more expensive house, maybe it's a little smaller, or it's a little bigger, but it's more expensive with a higher interest rate. I'll just stay where I am. Maybe I'll renovate. And so this is really putting a big crimp into the real estate industry. And what you're seeing sort of behind the scenes, what I'm seeing, you're not seeing it, but I'll share, is that at mortgage companies, loan officers are being let go. Title companies, title officers are being let go. There just isn't enough work to support what's going on. And that's just on the residential side. On the commercial side, what we're starting to see are bigger and bigger numbers of commercial properties that are going back to the banks, simply because the lack of people in those office buildings means the buildings are worth less. And every 5 years, the, you know, owners have to go and refinance those loans, and they're just not able to get the value for the building. Prices are higher, the mortgage interest rate is higher, and they're saying, you know what, you deal with it, I'm done. And they hand those properties right back to the bank.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting to me, though, is that you say the percentage of respondents who say it's a good time to buy a home is down to 16%. But the percentage of people who say it's a good time to sell a home, you'd think it would almost be the same. I mean, if nobody wants to buy, what are you doing selling? But the percentage of people who say it's a good time to sell a home is down to, but at 63%. And I'm kind of curious about how 63% of the people think it's a good time to sell. That's just kind of weird to me.
Well, that has to do with how much their home prices have risen, right? But even though they think it's a good time to sell, John, they're not selling. And in fact, if you look at the number of homes for sale across the country right now, there's only about 2 to 2.5 months worth of inventory, meaning that if not another home came on the market to sell, it would take 2.5 months to use up all the homes for sale, and then there would be none. If people really thought it was a good time to sell, right, you'd see a whole lot more homes in the market in a much more balanced market. And I think this is what, you know, the real estate industry is hoping, is that people will say, you know, hey, you think it's a good time to sell? It really is. Trust me. Let me list your house for you. They've got a string of buyers down the street that will be happy to pay you whatever price you're asking. And that's, you know, it's good and it's bad, right? It's, you know, there's some good things for sellers, but they're still just not selling because I think that what they're looking at is, well, okay, what am I going to buy? And they're frightened, you know, into inaction.
I guess the only way around that is if you're a cash buyer. Maybe you're selling that house that you've lived in all those years and you're downsizing so much that you can just walk in without a mortgage.
Sure. And a lot of people are doing that. In fact, if you talk to real estate attorneys right now, many of them will tell you that almost all of their deals are cash deals. And you've got people selling here, moving to other states. You get some of that. You get people who are moving out of their parents' house and they just need to buy something. There's always people buying and selling. It's just that the numbers are so small.
Elise Glink is the owner of ThinkLink Media and Best Money Moves. Check her out at thinklink.com. Next Monday. Thanks, Elise.
Hey, you're welcome.
There's Jim Dahlke joining us to talk a little tech from ChicagoWinnow.com. And the topic remains a little bit about AI, huh, Jim?
Hey, John. Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, we seem to talk about AI pretty much every week, but that is the topic du jour of the tech world today. And an AI startup here in Chicago just raised $35 million in a new fundraise here. This is a startup called Loop. They work in the logistics space, specifically for payments. They're digitizing a lot of shipping data and payments and using AI to basically make sure that your freight invoices don't have errors. The company told us that about 20% of all freight invoices have an error on, and that can lead to a lot of overspend. And so what its AI does is make sure that you're not having any errors in those invoices and making sure you're kind of able to provide an automated audit there. What's interesting about this company is that it launched from a handful of former Uber Freight members. So Chicago kind of continues to be, you know, this logistics hub. You know, it's home to Uber's freight division, Uber Freight. You know, it's going to spawn new startups in the space, and that's only good for Chicago startup scene. So a really interesting company here. Now, $35 million was the fundraise that they just got in last week. This is a round led by J.P. Morgan. So a big name backer behind this company if they look to continue to grow and help the logistics space.
Jim Dahlke is the national editor at American Inno, and ChicagoInno.com is the website. Not to get too philosophical, you didn't happen to see 60 Minutes last night, did you?
You know, I didn't.
They had a piece where they talked to the creator of AI, essentially, and he was describing it as a force for evil and good, but he was more worried about the evil, about how, you know, the genie is in the bottle now, and if it gets out, there's no going to be claiming it back, that mankind has really created something here. Not unlike what Oppenheimer did when they developed the atomic bomb, and we'd better be careful how we manage it. Do you have those sorts of very large views about this sort of thing? What do you think about something like that, Jim?
You know, a big piece of what we need to figure out are the guardrails. AI. We, you know, I think that is a piece that's certainly missing right now. I know a lot of folks who are working in this space really want these guardrails, that we really want some regulations around what AI can and can't do. You know, I think obviously one of the biggest concerns, right, is what AI can do to social media, and then what you're reading online, you know, may look to be accurate or true, and it could be, you know, AI generated and completely false. And I think that's one of the biggest issues we face. And, you know, who's going to be behind, you know, championing AI guardrails is going to be something to definitely keep an eye on.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, he saw the good in it. He said, you know, for medical and things like that, but for warfare or crime or deception politically, that's a concern too. And it is true, I guess, that the leaders of a lot of these companies themselves want some sort of guardrails, don't they?
That's exactly right. I mean, we are still a little bit in the wild west of AI. And I think we're going to get to the point where, you know, political leaders will become savvy enough that they understand, you know, the risks here, right? I think AI is kind of a boogeyman for some right now. But what we're going to find is that there, you know, there's going to be, you know, a progress in providing some guardrails here. But, you know, there are going to be some undeniable benefits of AI as well. And so you're going to have to sort of take the good with the bad for now. And hopefully we'll continue to refine that. And it will hopefully lead to mostly good.
Well, that concern doesn't seem to be slowing the investment, right? I mean, your Alex Zorn did the story about the venture capital fund raising $100 million, the emerging fund, right?
Yeah, we just wrote about the emerging fund last week. Interesting new venture capital fund in Chicago, raising $100 million. They've raised about $52 million right now, and they're taking a really interesting niche approach to investing. They're investing in restaurant tech and quote-unquote eatertainment. Eatertainment, some classic examples of that, right, are like Dave and Buster's or, you know, even Top Golf, where you're sort of playing and dining at the same time. They're kind of investing in sort of, you know, the 2.0 of eatertainment. Their investments include companies like Putt Shack, which is essentially, you know, the Top Golf, but for mini golf, kind of bringing a really tech forward element to the mini golf experience and putting some dining as well. Flight Club, which is the social darts space that has a location in Chicago. There are investors behind that business as well. So the CEO told us, you know, the reason we love this category is people, quote, don't want a two-hour meal anymore. Not sure that's exactly true, but I think the point is fair in that, you know, people want to have, you know, a different dining experience perhaps today than they did in the past, and they really are digging into this eatertainment space. So yeah, new $100 million fundraising here in Chicago, going to boost the local restaurant tech scene and the eatertainment scene in Chicago.
I got to tell you, that's the first time I've heard that word, eatertainment, but that seems to apply, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And you know, they think that there's a, you know, a big opportunity, right, in providing some of these entertainment spaces alongside dining. Putt Shack, I think, is a really interesting example. I haven't been to one myself, but I've seen some pictures of it. It's a pretty funky space, and if you definitely like mini golf, Putt Shack is a kind of mini golf 2.0.
I think the first version of that was the bowling alley, you know? It was always fun to go get a snack or a sandwich and a beer or a soda and bowl with your friends. We finally realized it could be applied to other sports.
That's right. And it really, I mean, a lot of these spaces are really kind of making them very trendy, you know, social club type experiences, right? So you can, you know, get an expensive cocktail along with your, along with your game experience as well.
Oh, great idea. Pickleball courts that serve fried pickles and drinks. It'll be, you know, pickle squared or something. Has anybody come up with that idea, Jim?
John, I think you're onto something. I like that.
I don't. Okay, so let's talk about the Chicago venture capital firm VC Seven Wire. Or what am I looking at here?
Yeah, Seven Wire Ventures, long time VC firm in Chicago, just raised a new fund themselves. So they've got $217 million. In their latest fund. Interesting approach here. They're going to take it really to continue to invest really in their best current portfolio companies. So they say they're going to really use this to back existing portfolio companies heading to those later stages of funding. In Chicago, we have found that we've gotten a lot of investors recently that are investing in those early stages, but there's not a ton of capital here in Chicago that can really be invested in the later stages. And that's especially important for startups, especially now, as there's been a lot of pullback in that sector in terms of investing in startups later. It's a hard time for those companies as they kind of head towards the exit ramps. And so what Seven Wire Ventures is going to do is put those $217 million into their current companies and also invest in other later stage startups in the Series B and C range. And so one of their notable standout portfolio companies is a Chicago startup called NOCD. That's an obsessive compulsive disorder software company helping folks with OCD kind of deal with those tendencies and help them correct some behaviors. And so really interesting startup there. And yeah, more money for Chicago startups with this new venture fund.
Jim Dahlke, national editor, American Inno. Don't steal my good ideas now, Jim. That one's mine, okay?
You got it, John.
On WGN, more business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Pharmacy staff at some Walgreens threatened to call in sick today to protest what they describe as harsh working conditions that make it difficult to safely fill prescriptions. Staffers say they're inundated with demand for prescriptions, shots, and other services, and don't have enough workers with proper training to handle all of the work. Pharmacy workers have also been complaining about being harassed and bullied by patients. On the Walgreens website today, some stores showed they were temporarily closed. The website didn't say why the locations were closed. Airline stocks are lower today after Israel declared war on Hamas. Oil prices also shot up. Shares in Chicago-based United were down 5% at midday after the carrier canceled flights to Israel. The airline halted service to Tel Aviv after the Federal Aviation Administration advised carriers to exercise caution. United will review the security situation before resuming operations. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, thank you, sir. Now it's time for the business of food. There's Steve Alexander.
Thank you, John. It's a Mr. Fizz Friday on a Monday. Gardening guru Jim Fizzell was preempted Friday for a feature about the marathon. Heidi Stevens, the syndicated columnist, was one of 30 people running to raise money for Nourishing Hope, the former Lakeview Pantry. Together, they raised about $65,000. And Heidi, in her first marathon, said she'd be delighted just to finish, and she did. 5 hours and 2 minutes. Congratulations, Heidi, and to everybody who ran or attempted to run the marathon. Jim Fizzell, our gardening guru, is on the line.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, Jim. And before we get started, I'm happy to say we are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com. It's truck season. Put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, Mr. Fizz wants to talk about compost.
Okay, first thing I like to do, as soon as things are ready to be pulled up in the garden, like some of the old tops and so forth, I like to dig them back in right where they are, if there isn't too much of it, and turn those in. That works very nicely. And then you want to chop this stuff all up. I use a sharp spade. Chop it up as finely as you can. It makes marvelous soil. If you have room, start a compost heap. You can do this if you have a 3x3 area. You can get some concrete blocks. Make yourself a pit 3x3, maybe 3 feet tall. Put all the stuff in there. Throw some topsoil in with it. And turn it over once in a while. Take a spading fork and turn all that stuff over once in a while. You can also do the same thing with plastic bags, big plastic garbage bags. You fill them with organic material, leaves and so forth, a couple of shovels full of topsoil. Tie them up, throw them out behind someplace where they won't be in the way and won't be obnoxious. When you think of it every once in a while, turn them over, roll them around a little bit, and mix all that up. And you'll find as the season goes on, those bags are going to begin to shrink because what's started out as coarse organic matter is going to be compost. Last resort, put it out for the yard waste recyclers because they're going to compost it. And then in the spring, if you need compost, you can go out to the garden centers and you'll find it all bagged up for you to pay for it. But you can get it free if you do it yourself.
Okay, got it. I saw some rain in the forecast, Jim, but it's still pretty dry in Park Ridge.
We're way short. We're probably 6 inches short of what we should be right now. The other thing that's happened, you know, a lot of folks have old houses around here in this part of town. When we have dry weather this way, this clay soil that we have shrinks. And if your house is on a shallow foundation, ours is on a 4-footer, and the ground dries out that far down, it begins to shrink and your house starts to move. So when that happens, we have to water the house.
Well, I hope it grows. Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell, from the dairy farm to your belly. It's National Moldy Cheese Day. Think Roquefort and Gorgonzola, among many. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Jeff Van Dixhorn joins us, the founder of Pickle House, H-A-U-S. It was funny because I thought just a second ago, Jeff, I came up with a real good idea.
Yeah, it's funny, John. I was listening to your last guest, and I was just chuckling. We're just a little bit ahead of you, but it is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, so. Well, now I have to endorse it because I thought I came up with it. But so you do pickleball, but you're going to do it more on the entertainment, food, beverage side. Tell me about your business.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a little bit what you were talking about. It's the entertainment, and you know, it's growing across a lot of segments. You know, as you talked about with your last guest, whether it's a putt shack, you know, Top Golf, et cetera. We're doing that with pickleball. So pickleball will be at the core of the activity, but surrounded then with event spaces, really good food, beverage programs. So, you know, what people are looking for, they're looking for something fun to do, social, but then also really, really good food and beverages.
So are you on the ground with this? Do you have these places set up already?
Yeah, our first location is going to be in Algonquin off Randall Road, and it's scheduled to be open on November 17th. So we're well into construction, and then we're looking at two or three other locations that we're working on right now.
How many courts will you have? How many people could you accommodate at one time?
Yeah, it's a 41,000 square foot facility, so it's a large facility. It has 12 pickleball courts. We actually also have golf simulators, a really nice space for that. Full bar, restaurant, outdoor patios. Every court individually will have kind of think of like a cabana or a place to sit behind the court, similar to like a Topgolf, where you could come with friends, you could rotate in and out playing, you know, while you're ordering food and drinks.
So then it's interesting because I suppose on the one hand, the costs are kind of minimal. It's just a heated space and you're selling food and beverages. But on the other hand, you know, this is a new venture. And where'd you get the money? Who's capitalized this? Is this all you? How's that happening?
Yeah, great question. It's actually it's a really high-end venue, you know, and really I think there's two ways you can do pickleball. You can do it. There's going to be a lot of facilities that open that are primarily just pickleball, and those I think will be, you know, fairly inexpensive to put up in a warehouse. What we're doing is kind of going to the next level in terms of the entertainment side. So it's a higher-end venue, and I have some amazing partners. So I partnered with Hubbard Street Group, who's a big developer in Chicago. Great partners, and then we have some key investors investing in it.
Is your facility a new one, or have you repurposed someplace?
Yeah, it actually was an old Dania Furniture building, so beautiful building. If you look it up on our website, that Dania Furniture went out of business, and we repurposing that location to Pickle House.
Where are you going to go next? It would seem to me like there's just endless opportunities.
Yeah, no, we'd like to continue to grow in the Chicago area. So we have a couple locations in the Chicago area that we're looking at. And for us, it's really important to have kind of A1 sites for the type of, you know, venue that we're building out. We're looking for, you know, buildings that are big enough, column spacing is right, ceiling height is right. We can do all the food and beverage programs that we want to do. We'll do a lot of corporate events. We're already booking corporate events for the holidays. So number of options in Chicago, and we are looking in a couple other large metropolitan cities as well.
I could see how it would work for a group, a bachelor party even, but maybe just two couples for the weekend. Does it work that way? Do I just call and make a reservation?
Yeah, absolutely. You can call, and that's a lot of what you'll see happen. You know, you could come with a number of couples, right? There could be six or eight of you. There are no memberships, so it's open to anyone in the public. We're trying to make it as inclusive as possible. And you can just call, book a court, show up, and then there'll be the opportunity to, you know, have a great social activity. Pickleball is very easy to learn. It's actually the fastest growing sport in the country because it's so easy to learn. You know, so it's an easy activity. You can literally learn the first day you're there. And you have the great food and beverage program.
Okay. And is the site active, Jeff? Can I click on now?
Yeah, absolutely. So site is on the website. It's picklehouse.com. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's just at pickle.house, H-A-U-S.
Picklehouse, H-A-U-S.com. All right, Jeff, you'll be hearing from our sales team shortly. Good luck to you.
Thanks, John. Have a great day.
Great idea.